In the fourth chapter of Proverbs, Solomon, that king, unto whom the Lord granted great wisdom, wrote the following from verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Throughout this book of Proverbs, throughout these chapters, Solomon exhorts his hearer to seek hold of wisdom. He speaks of her earlier in the chapter, and the great benefit there is in walking in the way of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, not the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of this world, but that wisdom that comes from on high. The wisdom that God gave unto Solomon was not that common wisdom of man that would have us indulging and seeking after all that is here below, a way that seems right unto men, or which leads unto destruction. A way that seems natural unto men, to grasp after everything that they can see, touch and feel in this world. The riches, the glory, the power, the pleasure of this world. All of which is brief and fleeting and is taken away. It perishes with man when man perishes. Man's life in this world is brief. It's fleeting, it's but for a moment. He's like a blade of grass that grows up and then is cut down. And people seek after everything they can get here below. But it's nothing. Fades away. And they cannot take it with them beyond the grave. They have a soul which will continue beyond the grave. But what they seek after in this world is taken away. The wisdom of this world will tell you to go this way and to go that way, and it will tell you not to seek God, not to seek Jesus Christ, not to seek the gospel, not to consider the soul, not to consider your state before God, not to consider the world and the life to come. It mocks at eternity. It mocks at God. It mocks at Jesus Christ, and it mocks at salvation. It will lead you another way, but it's a way of fools that it leads you. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Whether he says it with his lips or not is another matter. He may with his lips, in the presence of others, pretend to believe in God, but in his heart, he lives like there is no God. And he says in his heart, there is no God. That this life is all there is. Grasp all that you can now. Eat, drink and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Live for the moment. Live for the day. Because this is all you've got. And the fool grasps at all that he can get. And ill health. and sorrow and sickness comes and takes it away. And in the end, death grasps hold of his shoulder and pulls him the other side of the grave, and all is gone. And reality comes to stand before his face. There he stands, the other side of grave, in the presence of wisdom. In the presence of that wisdom that he derided in his foolishness. In the presence of a wisdom unlike any wisdom that he had in this world. And then he knows the difference between good and evil, between truth and lies, between God and man, between the wisdom above and the wisdom from below, between light and darkness. Then he discovers the difference between the walk of the wicked and the walk of the just. Then he discovers, when it's too late, what Solomon would have him hear below. When Solomon writes, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. Despite all the wisdom they pretend to have, despite all the knowledge that the wicked have, despite all the riches and the power that they may attain to in this world, even if they rise to the very heights that this world can offer, even if they lead countries and empires, the wicked stumble in the darkness. For they know not the path of the just, which is as the shining light. Now, in which way do you walk? Do you walk in that narrow way, that narrow path of the just, that a few find and discover and a few are led along, whilst derided by that great company of the wicked who all surge ahead on their broad way that leads to destruction? Which path are you on? The path of the just is as the shining light. The shining light. Now, this shining light upon which they walk is a picture of the gospel. And the light of God that shines through the gospel, which illuminates their pathway. There is no light in this world, no true light, no spiritual light, no light of wisdom, but that which comes from God above. For he is the light of the world. Repeatedly throughout the scripture, the difference between light and darkness is set before us. The difference between truth and lies. And good and evil, between God and man, righteousness and sin. And that difference is illustrated in the light. The path of the just is as the shining light. John writes in his gospel concerning the entrance of Christ into the world, the Word of God, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended it not. For those in the darkness, the wicked, stumbled about in the darkness, and even though the light shone, even though the light was there, they couldn't see it. Because their eyes were blind and their understanding was darkened. It's not as though the light wasn't there. It's not as though the light never shone. They simply didn't see it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. When Christ, the light of God, came into this world, the world that he made, the world that he sustains, the world knew him not. The wicked in the darkness stumbled at that which they did not know. They know not at what they stumble. But this light came into the world. This light, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Son of God, came into the darkness of this world. He walked amongst men. He spake unto men. He was seen of men. And the darkness knew him not. They saw a man. They saw a man from Nazareth. They saw Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. They knew who his parents were. They could see who he was. They heard his words. But they knew him not. They knew him not as the light of God. They knew him not as the Son of God. And you can know Jesus Christ. You can know about him. You can know the historical account regarding him. You can read all of his words in the scriptures. You can say many things about him. You can read the gospel accounts of his crucifixion and his resurrection. You can read what he said of whom he was and what he said concerning his Father from whom he came and not know him. But John, who writes this gospel, wrote as one who saw him with the physical eye and touched him with his hands and heard his voice. But he also heard his voice within. The light of God shone not merely upon John, but within John. It shone into his heart. It shone within his understanding. He heard the words of Christ, not as outward words with the outward ear, but he heard them inwardly with the inward ear. They were words of eternal life to him. They shone within. And he who was once wicked, a wicked man, John, a sinner like you and I, he who was once in the darkness, stumbling at what he knew not, when Christ spake with power unto his soul, he heard. He who was in the grave heard the voice of the Son of God and lived. The life of God came unto him. The light of God shone within his heart. And he who was once dead lived. He who was once blind saw. He who was once in darkness walked in the light. He who was once a sinner was made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ and walked before God as one of the just who walks in a pathway which is called the shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. As well as his gospel, this same John wrote epistles to the church. He writes in 1 John and chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, what John knew. He'd seen this one called Jesus. He'd handled him. He'd heard his voice. He beheld him. He knew everything about him which could be sensed, seen, heard, felt with the outward senses. But he'd also seen who he was inwardly. The life of God had entered into his soul. The light of God had shone around and about him and into his heart. And that is his message. He is the light of God, and in him is no darkness at all. He is a shining light. Christ himself, the Son of God, is the shining light. He is my pathway, John says. The path of the just is as the shining light. Here in the gospel, we make known Christ, the light of God, and everything else is darkness. Darkness. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But there's no darkness in Christ. In which way do you walk? In which path are you journeying? Whose voice do you hear? The voice of the multitudes in this world that say, go this way. Or the voice of Jesus Christ, who says unto his own, follow me. David knew this light. David knew the difference between the darkness and the light. The father of Solomon, who writes this book of Proverbs. David, that great type and figure of Jesus Christ, that king of Israel, that psalmist who wrote so much concerning the coming Messiah. David knew by experience the one who is the light of God. And David, having lived his life upon this earth, which was full of sorrow, but also full of the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ, full of heartache and trial, he lost loved ones. He was sought by Saul, who desired to take his life. He knew many enemies and much persecution. He knew the hatred of man because of his love of God. David, who knew what it was to rejoice in God his Saviour, and who knew what it was to feel the hatred of men and the sorrow of sin and the guilt and the turmoil that sin would bring upon him. David, who was taught much of the wisdom of God, and who knew the difference between light and darkness, on his deathbed wrote the following words in 2 Samuel 23. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. What words from David's lips? David, the son of Jesse. David, that man who God raised up on high. David, who was the anointed of God, of Jacob, anointed to be king over Israel. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, could write and say that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. He knew when he penned those psalms. He knew when he spoke and wrote that he was not merely writing down his own experience, but that the Lord guided his words and the Lord spake by him. And what he wrote was prophetic of Jesus Christ, his salvation. He knew as he wrote that he was writing concerning that everlasting covenant that God had made with him. He knew that he was writing concerning that covenant that God made between Father and Son and Holy Spirit, that he wrote concerning the coming Son of God, who'd come as Messiah into this world, who'd come as the light in the darkness, who'd come as his salvation. That one who'd come in the place of men, who would come as a sacrifice and come as the priest who'd offer the sacrifice. Come as a sacrifice for sinners. He knew that he wrote of that one who'd come and offer himself up before Almighty God in the place of sinners and offer up his own blood to wash away the sins of his people, to wash away the darkness within their souls and the iniquity within, and bring in its place the righteousness of God, the life of God, the light of God that brings those sinners out of the darkness and into the light, that takes sinners and makes them to be just because of what this one, the just one, did in their place. He knew that as he penned those psalms, he was writing of a man unlike any other man. He was writing of his son to come. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. He was writing concerning what this Son of God would do as a sacrificial saviour of his people, as the redeemer, as the ransom of their souls, as the one who could stand as a man, as a divine man, as the Son of God and the Son of Man in the place of sinners, as a sacrifice equal to men, but equal to the righteousness of God, as one who could come and save to the uttermost. He was writing as one who could speak of an everlasting covenant, a covenant where the Son of God purposed to deliver all those for whom he came, all those names that the Father gave unto him, all those names laid upon his heart, all the eternal election of grace. He came for every one, and he bore the sins of every one. He died for every one. He rose again for every one. He saved them to the uttermost. He saved them with an everlasting salvation. He blotted out their iniquity. He took away the darkness because he came as a shining light. He knew that he wrote concerning the God of Israel, the Rock of Israel who spake unto him, the one from whom comes all wisdom, all light, knowledge and righteousness. This God said unto David that he that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. David knew as a king and a ruler over Israel the wisdom of God, that he must be just. He must be seen before the people to be without sin. He must rule in justice and righteousness. And he must walk before God with the fear of God. A wicked sin cannot rule. A wicked sin cannot lead the people. He can only lead them unto destruction. But he who will lead the people to their salvation, he who will lead the people in a way of blessing, must be a man who's just and upright. Now David knew in himself that he was not just. He was not upright. He knew what God would do with him under grace. He knew how God had spoken unto him. He knew how God had led him. He knew how God had anointed him. He knew what God did with him as a man through God's grace and long suffering. But he knew also that in himself he was full of iniquity, full of sin. Oh, how David, that great man, that great king, stumbled. He was put to the highest heights, but he fell to the greatest depths. In Psalm 51 he writes, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me freely from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, what David knew of his sin. Has God taught you something of what he taught David? Has he taught you what is in you? Has he taught you something of how you're conceived and born into this world, that you're shapen in iniquity? You're a sinner from the womb. All that you say, think, and do by nature is wicked before God. It's darkness. Has God taught you what you are? Can you say with David, before God, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We do many things in this world which are wrong. We commit many crimes against many people. We disobey authority. We disobey parents, teachers, the law. We harm many people, friends and foe. But ultimately all that we do, every lie that we speak, every sin that we conceive, every iniquitous thought within, all those things that go through our minds that we hide from everyone else. But we know what we think. We know what we see. We know what we'd say. We do not to men, but unto God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. David knew what he was by nature. He knew that by nature he walked as one who was in darkness. He stumbled about. They know not at what they stumble. He knew what he was by nature. But he knew that his salvation was in God alone. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David was given a sight of one who died in his place. One who purged him. One who washed him with his own blood. He was given a sight of Christ, the light of God, who made him just. He was given a sight of the everlasting covenant which God made with him. Though he was a sinner, though his household was not as he would desire, though there was sin in himself and in his home, though he knew what he should be as a ruler of the people, but he knew he was a sinner, yet God made with him an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Yet God said unto David, despite everything you've done, I love you, David. You're mine. You're mine. And I will wash you, I will cleanse you, I will make you to walk before me in wisdom. You're mine. Unto David the light of the sun arose and shone. David's pathway was as the shining light. And David could write of he who rules over God's people, he who is the King of Israel, he could write that he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. He knew who Christ was. He beheld by faith Christ rising forth from the grave. As the sun rises up from the horizon, he saw Christ, his Saviour, rising up as the light of the morning. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he knew who he was. And it's in him that he trusted. For this is all my salvation, he says, and all my desire to know him who has made with me an everlasting covenant. Now, what do you know of the light of whom John speaks? What do you know of the light of the morning of whom David speaks? What do you know of the path of the just, the shining light of which Solomon speaks? Do you pretend that you've not heard? Do you bury your head in the sand and pretend that this message is not there to be seen? Do you say, what can I do if I'm in darkness and I cannot see the light? Do you make excuses for your stumbling about? Well, Paul makes it plain in Romans 2 that we're without excuse. We're without excuse. God causes the light to shine in this world every day, whether you see it or not. That which may be known of God is manifest in men, for God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What wisdom do you follow? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul connects the wisdom and the foolishness of this world with the fact that man is without excuse because the creation around him speaks under him every day. It speaks under him every day. It sets forth every single day the difference between light and darkness. Light and darkness. You don't need to go to a church to have this set before you. You don't need to hear a preacher to have this set before you. You don't need to read the Bible to have this set before you. Every day the sun rises. Every day the sun sets. Every 24 hours there is day and there is night. There is light and there is darkness. Every day, God is saying to this world, to every soul in this world, the difference between light and darkness. Every day, man is awake and goes about his business in the day. And every night he falls asleep. And no man or woman in this world can cheat the natural order of how his body requires sleep and how he must sleep in the darkness and work in the day. And in these things, God is preaching the gospel and his truth to every man every day. So he is without excuse. David himself writes in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom going out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So writes David. He makes it very plain that every day there is a speech which goes forth in this world. There is a message which is sounded in the creation. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Doesn't matter which country you're from, what culture you're from, which tribe you're from. There's not one tribe in this world, however hidden and lost, however deep in the Amazon jungle they may be, they have seen the sun rise. Day after day after day after day. And they've seen the night fall. Night after night after night after night. And these things tell them that there is a God. They make it plain the difference between night and darkness. Between life and death. For in the night man sleeps. And he can't escape it. His body grows tired. He can't go without sleep. And that sleep is a picture of death. And it's a reminder to him, day after day, 24 hours after 24 hours, there's life and there's death. At the moment you go to sleep and you wake up, and you're brought back out of sleep. But there's going to come a day when you go to sleep and you don't wake up. The day when you wake up in another place, another world, the other side of the grave, we're without excuse. These things are a picture of the gospel. And God preaches his gospel through the creation in this type and this figure unto all the earth and every soul upon it. So that they're without excuse, so that you're without excuse. Every day you see the rising of the sun, and you're reminded every morning that early in the first day of the week, Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, rose with healing in his wings. Christ rose from the grave. He rose from the darkness of death. He rose from sleep. And he shone forth with his gospel. And all his people rose with him. And every day as the sun rises up to its greatest height and its greatest heat, you're reminded of the glory of Christ on high. And yet men shut their eyes and shut their ears and shut their understanding. But the sun's always there. It doesn't matter if it's a fair day when the skies are blue and the sun shines at its brightest. Or if it's a day when the storm clouds gather and the skies are grey and the world is darker. The sun still shines. The sun is still there. And even on the darkest day, it's still brighter than the night. And it doesn't matter how many clouds there are in your soul, or how much of a barrier there is that your sin places you between, places between you and God. Doesn't matter what there is that obscures the gospel from sight, the sun is still shining. God is still on high. Christ is still upon his throne. He still came into this world as the light in the darkness. He still went to the cross. He still suffered and died for sinners. He still wrought the fulfillment of that everlasting covenant which David was a partaker of. He still rose as David spoke, the light of the morning, the sun rising. He still went up into glory with all his people victorious. He still shed his blood and washed his people clean. And he still sits on high declaring this message. And every day is a day that you might hear. Every day this glory shines. Every day this message is preached. And it's preached in the light of the sun in the physical realm. And it's preached in the light of God in his scriptures, in the wisdom of God that was written and spoken and written down by the psalmist and by Solomon in the Proverbs and by the prophets of God and by the apostles, the disciples. All these holy men of God, led as David was by the Spirit of God to record what God spake, is there, written down, for you to read, or you to hear. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, David says, and his word was in my tongue. And it's there to be heard from every gospel preacher that God sends forth on high. And if you ever hear the gospel preached, if you ever hear these things declared, you're accountable to them. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, says David. His word was in my tongue, and so he is with every preacher that God sends. And if you hear and shut your ears to it, you're guilty of your rejection of the truth as declared by God unto your soul. Will you shut your ears? Will you shut your eyes? Will you close your understanding? Will you bury your head in the sand? Will you dive underneath those storm clouds? Will you try to conceal yourself? Will you go and hide under the rocks that God may not see? Yet the sun still shines and the gospel still preached. And there's a day coming when you will stand before Almighty God. Stand before the Son of Righteousness himself. Stand before the shining light. And he will ask you and say unto you, why did you not believe? And when you make your excuses, he will remind you of what Paul wrote in Romans, that you are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. That which may be known of God is known unto every man. You know there is a God. You know you are created. You know you are accountable unto him. The light of the gospel is made known even in the creation around you. And we will be judged according to the light we've received. For some it may just be through creation. Through others they have the scriptures to read. Through others they've heard the gospel. However much you know, however little you know, you're without excuse. For the sun shines in its brightness. It is a shining light. A shining light. When Christ came into this world of darkness, He sent forth a prophet, John the Baptist, before him to herald his coming, to make way. And John went forth into the darkness of this world unto Israel and said, repent, turn from your fallen ways, turn from the way in which you're going, turn unto God, for the Saviour is coming. The Saviour is on his way. He's coming. The light is shining. And when questioned of John, Christ himself said of John, because of how John heralded his way, that even John was a burning and a shining light. Not that John was the light, but even his witness shone light in a dark world. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. The people went and followed John. But then when the true light came, many who heard John with the outward ear turned away. An outward profession won't do. Some understanding of the truth in the bare letter won't do. Though a burning and shining light may come before you, though a great preacher may preach the gospel in power unto you, you need to hear the words of Jesus Christ himself. You need to hear him. There was a man named Saul who knew of Jesus Christ. He knew of all that he had done. He'd have heard his words. He heard the preachers whom Christ sent. He heard Stephen preaching the gospel and declaring unto the people Jesus Christ. And he stood by as he was stoned. He consented unto the death of Stephen. He hated this Christ. He hated those who followed him. He hated all that he heard of him. And he went about seeking to destroy him. You may try to quench this light. You may try to shut the ears of those who preach of him. You may try to trample the scriptures and the gospel underfoot. You may turn aside. You may bury yourself in the things of this world that you may not see. But Saul did all he could to destroy this light. He did all he could to persecute this way. And God would not have it. For he writes in Acts 26, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests to persecute the church there, to round up the believers of Jesus Christ, to gather them together at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? 'Tis hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles under whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Oh, what Saul, Paul saw. He saw the shining light. He persecuted the gospel, and then one day the gospel came unto him. He persecuted Jesus Christ as he put the followers of Christ unto death, and one day Christ appeared unto him. He tried to stamp out the light, and then the light shone all around about him. I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun shining round about me. And then that light spake unto him by name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the light shone within, and the life entered into Saul. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, came the word from the light. And it sent him forth. Christ sent Saul forth unto the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin. There's a reason this light shines. There's a reason this day, today, exists. There's a reason the sun rose up this morning. And that's because the light shines. That's because Christ is on high. That's because the gospel's to be preached. There's a reason you stand here this day. Because Christ reigns. And keeps this world alive because he's delivering his people from their sins. There's a reason you are here this day. That's because Christ, by the power of his gospel, is delivering sinners from the darkness and bringing them into light. Where are you? Where are you? The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You may try to hide, you may try to flee, but this light on high shineth more and more unto the perfect day. As the day of Christ's return unto this world approaches, this light shines more and more. The gospel is preached. The light shines forth. Where are you walking?